And this week has been a long, hard week, very frustrating circumstances. So it was very refreshing to come to church this morning and have something looking forward to.
Yep.
And that situation just shows you more what we have here. That, I mean, you just realize that's what you have. It's not something everyone's got. Well, we spent 3 weeks talking about the characteristics of generations, the importance of the generation. We talked about the evil generation. We talked about the upright within every generation. But you'll notice that at the end of every time, you'll notice that there's a digression that's noticeable in every generation, and one that we don't often look at besides to condemn it. The digression in every generation is something that has to be noted within your own mind in order to prepare for what's to come. And instead, we kind of just roll with it and just we pass it off as just the world getting worse. And it is the world getting worse. Don't discount that at all. But without noting what is getting worse, there's really no future to be had for our generation or for the upright. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, somebody somewhere is going to come up with a saying, when you can't beat them, join them. And that's what's happened a lot here recently, especially, is we pick our battles is what we're calling it, but really we're just giving up standards and pushing the line further out. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." There's a breakdown that's noticeable, and it passes the way, it paves the way for every generation to become progressively more evil in every generation. It makes the upright have a harder time overall. Because you'll see through everything, it feels like, and this is the movement this year, is that everyone's getting more spiritual through this. Everyone that's watching online church and can watch it in their pajamas, they're getting more people in their church. And so it seems almost the opposite is what they're trying to purvey through what they're broadcasting through Facebook and through their website and through different letters and text messages and all this other stuff they're posting on Facebook that you copy and paste on your timeline, is that there's a great turning to God through this pandemic. That is the narrative that's been attempted to be displayed and forced upon you through this whole thing, when really we've seen the complete opposite of it.
Yeah.
I'd like to look at a couple things that form the core of this deceitful generation. And it kind of goes along with the past two I've preached, where it's been the evil generation and the upright within the evil generation. But they've really turned it upside down to where it's really hard to discern between one and two anymore. Because everything's mixed now. Everything's just thrown in a pot and melted. And there's a reason for that. We're going to try and get into that today. So if you look in verse 7 of the same chapter, it says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." If you look around and you listen to some preaching today, you're going to notice especially that this generation that seems, and I call it the end times generation is what it feels like, because everyone knows so much, but they're spiritually blind. We live in a generation that is, the cornerstone of it is knowledge. This generation is always seeing and seeking for some sign of extreme righteousness, and they've adopted the knowledge is power mentality to form their religion and to form their thoughts. Our religious mantra shows that the holiness of God has been replaced by an agenda of knowing the knowledge of God, to the point where we're almost building another Tower of Babel to try and touch Him. That point, which that's a story we often ignore, not so much ignore, but just don't pay attention to, is that that did happen at one point in history.
Yep.
And God had to scatter them and change their language completely in order to get them to stop. Because God does not stop the pursuit of knowledge of men, because He's given us a free will to do so. But there does come a time where when you reject God, you pursue everything else entirely in order to try and have the knowledge so that you are more comfortable. Because like it or not, every man needs something spiritual to sustain them, whether it's real or whether it's fake. That's why so many people flock to churches where they can sit and listen to how good God is and how He's okay with you. Because they need confirmation, affirmation that God is okay with you and I'm okay with you, and so you're okay. We've switched out the accountability that comes with being a Christian with the common factor that I'm okay with me and God's okay with me, so I can serve that God. They seek to know what He orders, what He knows, in order to fit in better and flex our spiritual muscles when people come around. People will memorize theologies and facts because before they'll memorize Scripture, for the simple reason that they now know the Scripture, or they know the facts, they know the theologies, they know what you believe. We put out entire books and entire contracts that show you what we believe. And so people will memorize that. But what they will not memorize is the Scripture we use to prove those beliefs. If people can simply pull what you believe and know it and use it against you, they are perfectly happy. Because they know it and believe it too, which makes you equal in their eyes. And if they can be equal with you, then since you're going to heaven, he's going to heaven as well. The cornerstone of this generation, that is the very core of what the world is right now, is knowledge. And is use of that knowledge. Because people aren't stupid. They gather the knowledge and they will practice it at certain times. Because they know how to deceive. This thirst for knowledge and this thirst for knowing what you know is not so that they can get along better with you. It is simply so that they can use it against you or to deceive you in the right situation. Yes. We often joked in Baptist churches that teen youth groups were like a group of chameleons, because once one person did something, it wasn't long before every one of them did it, but as soon as the teacher come around, it was just like they changed color and blended right in. Again, we're back to because there was no raising and there was no direction in their life. But that's exactly what they've been brought up to do, and that's what they're still doing. I know a ton of customer service representatives at companies, particularly large ones in the Bluff, when the customer's standing there, they're as professional as can be, and as soon as the customer walk away, they tell that story to everybody in the most negative light and what they actually wanted to do. Some people might call that self-control. Other people call that chameleonism, where you can morph to the company's standards as long as somebody's standing there watching you. And then as soon as they're gone or you're off the clock, you're a totally different person. This is very much the same in churches today. They walk in the doors, the preacher's standing there, and so they morph into something that they're not. Generally, the preacher can see that that's something you're not. Because what goes around ends up coming back to him and tells exactly what you are. But that's what this has been brought up to be. So the core of that knowledge is for the use of deception, which is what they've been taught they use knowledge for about all their life. Just like situations we were talking about before, where people use their situation to gain sympathy from others and ultimately gain food, money, favor, whatever you want from that person. They manipulate the situation to further the circumstances in their favor. And that's what people have done today. That is the core of what you're dealing with today. Everywhere you go, and this is terrible, you can't trust that bum on the street begging needs it. You can't count on it. No. But what you can count on is that what you give, giving in the right spirit, is going to be paid back the way it needs to be. But we have this such high culture of, because they do that, you don't give anything. And so they never get anything. So what if that person doesn't actually need it? You are now justified in your action. If the person actually needs it, you never know it, so you are still further justified in your mind of that action. Because they use their circumstances to justify their deception of getting stuff from you. But you, in your mind, have also justified that giving as Christ gave is not applicable in this situation. And so you hold back. Mm-hmm. Take that as you may. Now apply it further. Because you have now done that in that situation, you now critically analyze any situation where one is in need and further justify why you don't need to step in and give. This culture has ultimately bled over into how we do our Christianity. Because there are, again, virtue signals where you do something because of this cause, but there's also situations where you critically analyze and find every reason not to give. Just like that bum on the street where you realize that, hey, he doesn't need it. The guy has an Xbox and someone's sitting in a car waiting to take him home as soon as he's done. I've seen that before way too many times. So you don't give. But in a different situation, you use that same analogy to someone who actually is in need and you don't give. Because you've justified it once, you will justify it again. Your bowels of compassion will be stopped up by your own reasoning, your human reasoning. So because this core of deception has hardened our Christianity so much that we are no longer making a difference at all. That's why it's so important to view the world through the Bible in the eyes of Christ, not so much the eyes of our own reasoning. Because just like these people use that knowledge to filter their thoughts, most times, and deceive you, you use your human reasoning to filter your thoughts against the Bible to see whether the situation calls for it or not. Something you have to realize is God is not a case-by-case basis. He is a ground zero for all reasoning and all deduction. So that is the major difference between the upright and the evil generation. They use it for deception to get their own way, whereas this is a base principle for everything in life that you can apply to all situations. However, we have taken a page from their book and decided to run through a hugely different filter and make very weak coffee. So that, in and of itself, is a very bad thing to do. The upright generation will not do that. The evil generation always will. Again, it also says in verse 13 here, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It goes right along with deception. But pay attention to that word seducers. If you Google the word seducers, you will not find a definition that is not sexually applicable. Every one of them has to do with that situation. Has to do with that offer, enticement, whatever you'd like to call it. You cannot find it without that connotation to that word. But if you go back to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, you will find an entirely different term. I wrote it down here too. Let's see if I didn't change that. It says, there it is. It says, it just means one that tries to get someone to give in to a desire. That is a much more base term to this word and much more applicable to this situation. We live in a generation of seducers, both ways, but more applicable to this one. They encourage self-fulfillment or fullness of self or finding yourself. They make you feel better, which doesn't work if the dictionary calls you a seducer. This is the same thought in Proverb, a term that conveys the same thought. Let not sinners entice thee. Leaving this generation more susceptible to being enticing. And the reason is it has the same connotation as the word entice. Entice and seduce are about the same ones. But we've changed entice. We've done a whole cultural overhaul. Let me just step back. We've done a cultural overhaul to where we've taken the word seduce. We've taken away from just somebody who tries to get you to give in to a desire. And we've turned it into something with a connotation towards another direction. And we've taken the word entice and made it nothing more but a term that foodies use when they post up on Instagram. Hashtag enticing. All you see is pancakes and ceviche. But it's on there. We've completely taken those two words and taken them and put them in a whole other context where when you think of that word, just like all these other triggers, you go this way instead of that way. So this cultural overhaul has taken all of it out. But why did we do that? Why did we change seduce and entice to mean these other things? Because a seduce means to give in to a selfish desire, which doesn't work with the new modern past 15-year doctrine of find yourself, treat yourself, care for yourself first. All that has to do with someone that's called seducing. It would say, hey, you ought to just go out and do something for yourself. You ought to take care of yourself first. You know, if you want that, you ought to just buy it for yourself. Treat yourself. If somebody is sitting there telling you that, they are a seducer.
That's right.
They are seducing you to give in to your own selfish desires. And that, in turn, will lead your life in a selfish direction, which we know has no place in the kingdom of God.
Right.
So we've taken seduce and entice entirely out, leaving this generation, again, more susceptible to enticing. All this is based off the universal human fact of carnally minded people that thrive on change. The progressive and systematic descent into sin starts with that word right there. What, when you think of change from the Bible, what's the first thing you think of? I am the Lord thy God, I change not. But, however, in this past century, we have done nothing but attempt to provoke and instill change in every generation. Every 4 years,
yes,
you have an election in this country. And every 4 years, what is the one word on the podium that gets everyone's attention?
Change.
Change. It's right there. In front of all their speeches and on all their signs, they're going to change this, they're going to change that, they're going to do this, they're going to change that. And then when you get them and pin them down and say, well, we're not going to change it, we're just going to make it better for everybody. And that puts everyone in an uproar. But they're going to change it. Just like, let's go back to the word, seduce and entice. What did we do to those in order to provoke and instill this change in the generation? We had to change the definition of that word. We had to change the dictionary. The 1828 dictionary is the only one that says that. If you go back to the late 1800s, pardon me, that word still means what it says when you Google it. Or it's a connotation to sexual actions. We had to systematically and slowly change that word to get where we are here.
Yes.
You still think this is a quick change that we've been doing in the past 15 years? No. This is something that's been changed systematically from the start of this country to the end now. That's been totally for the opportunity of the devil.
Yeah.
Look at the difference. The new way is called a welcome change to the modern Christian. This key word being change. In order to leave the old paths, you need to change directions. We've altered modern thinking to include thinking outside the box, or change. And we've been taught that you can change your life with a simple thought. Everything has to do with change nowadays. God will change your life. This program will change your life. You need to change your thinking in order to have a better life. You need to change this. It's the prevailing theme of everything. Change your diet to feel better. Change locations. You just need a change in your life. Depressed? You just need to make a change in your life. Yes. Change of scenery. Well, I think people move and live five different states in their life because they're advised to change everything to fix their life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Turn over a new leaf. Start new. Mm-hmm. It never is a fresh start. Stuff follows you a lot. Oh boy. Letting our hearts and minds run wild is all the change we need to bury our generation. But we've even done that. For ever since before I was born, change your life meant following your heart. Let yourself free. Let your mind run wild. Don't let anyone else tell you what you can and can't think. Don't let your parents, old fogies, think that you can do this and that and the other. Don't think that this is against the law. Everything's lawful to you until you decide for yourself that it's right or that it's wrong. Kids, we've been in church all our life. This is what we believe, but you decide what you believe. And if you need to change something, our arms are open. Meaning we don't really care at all for you at all. But we'll embrace it no matter what you believe.
Yeah.
This base idea of change is what we filed every bit of doctrine we have on.
Yeah.
Because God will change your life. That's it. How will he change your life? Well, that depends on who you are, what you like, what you do, what you want to do with your life, all this other stuff. That's what determines what is going to change in your life. And all this leads to nothing more but corruption in mind and heart. The world has gone crazy, and does anybody here know why? Does the thought ever pop into your mind when you see what people do? So why is that? How many times do we sit Tuesday night around the table and say, why? That doesn't even make any sense why they did that. We probably say that 4 or 5 times. The reason is the knowledge has blown their head up, and seducers use it to further manipulate them as they continue to reject God. Funny thing about knowledge is that if it is knowledge without root, it is fluid. And knowledge without root and knowledge that is fluid, just like when you pour water on sand, you can take your finger and draw a path and that water will follow whatever path you want. That's why it's called fluid. Somebody can guide it and lead it. It's not going to be stuck there forever. So these seducers that are around here manipulate this knowledge that you've taken, and you can alter it. And that's why you have these wonderful people that take a little something from every religion and decide and make their own religion, because they're doing what's right for them and what's right for their life and what's right in their heart. They've spoken to God and he just said, do what you want. I had this one guy that I was talking to, and he kept pulling random stuff out of the air. Like, we'd be talking about one subject and bam, it'd just be from somewhere else, a left field entirely. I'm like, where'd you get that? He said, well, it's in this other religion where they do this, and it's the same concept, but it's a different, you know, and I'm like, it's a different point of view, he said. I said, well, why are you pulling from all different, I said, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. He said, it does if you go this route, and doesn't that make more sense? I said, no, it doesn't. Yeah. But he's taken every, and I just had to stop the conversation because there was, you can't even discuss anything. And you can't, one thing about these people is you can't discuss anything with them. Because as soon as you get close to nailing them down to having to say yes or no about a subject, they do that. They pull something from left field to totally redirect the conversation. Yep. And just to confuse you, when you stop and say, wait, that has nothing to do with it. They say, yes, it does if you look at it from this route. Well, that's not what we're talking about. Well, this is what I'm talking about now. It's a seducing. It's bringing another idea to alter your way of thinking. And same thing with them. When they got a little bit of zeal about them and a little excited about what they'd learned, they tried to discuss it with somebody, and somebody did the exact same thing to them, and they stopped and had to rehash everything. Because knowledge is not understanding. Right. If you pair knowledge without understanding, that's what you get, that kind of guy right there. Because he will take anything from anything and decide that he can somehow draw a line around the rabbit hole, just like when you're tying shoes and through, and he'll make it tie somehow, but it'll be a terrible knot that you're going to have to cut in order to get out of there. And that's what we've done with this whole generation. That's what we've taught them. And because the parents haven't taught them, everyone else has taught them. And that fluid knowledge is now being redirected in so many directions that their minds just plumb burn out. And you're lucky if they ever come back to the point where they can understand the truth. Because every little bit of truth that they've been given has been redirected with all these other doctrines, and that's where we're at. This is a generation where confusion reigns supreme, because that's the only way the devil can keep everything running. He thrives on confusion. And the more that we're disagreeing, and the more we're not sure what everyone thinks, that's the more he wins. And you can talk to absolutely anybody out here, and you almost can't have a straight conversation with them. Because their brains are so burnt out trying to figure it out themselves, because they've been told since the 70s to follow their heart and to do this and do that, change your scenery. And as soon as they get threatened, they just move to another state, to another big city where they're anonymous. Anonymity is a powerful tool in the devil's quiver. Just like these big cities where nobody knows anybody, but you walk by them absolutely every day. That's why nobody likes a small town anymore. That's why no one likes a suburban environment where you have neighbors, where they actually talk to each other, and you mow each other's lawns, all that good stuff, because then somebody knows you and you're accountable.
Yeah.
When you're accountable, that knowledge has to make some sort of sense.
Right.
Because all of a sudden you're not debating some random guy by a hot dog stand. this guy's going to run into you again and know that you have no idea what you're talking about. And you can't sharpen your wonderful knowledge on how to reroute people, and you end up looking like you're stupid. All this to say that evil generation is right there among you. They're your friends, they're your coworkers, they're everybody. I tell people a lot at work this one phrase, and that one phrase is you. Make sure you have you under control. Because if you don't have your heart and mind in line and take into captivity every thought yourself, you're no better than this generation. You're in fact taking pages from their book. And if you don't have yourself straight and right with God and know what you're talking about, they can catch you in that same guile where, well, you know, if you do this from this point of view, well, now you're all messed up because wait. Because you're not connecting the dots anymore. He's connected dots for you and taking the marker completely out of your hand. This generation is here to deceive you. Mm-hmm. And it's here to get you away from God. The upright is a very thin margin because we continually drop our defenses and just listen to other people and let someone else take the wheel. This continual change that we've had in the generation away from people and away from the radio and onto the TV and into video games and now our smartphones, where it continually reprograms your modern brain where truth is. It's reprogrammed totally. If you look at when you read a book, and when you watch the TV or even read on a phone, how your brain processes that information, how lazy it makes your brain. That's why nobody can do math in their head anymore. That's why nobody can come up with a straight answer anymore. That's why no one remembers measurements, like we were measuring yesterday. No one remembers measurements, what you said 5 seconds ago, because they're scrolling so fast. In 5 seconds, they've gone past 16 posts. Your brain's learned to process so fast that it's trashing as quick as it can so it can remember what you're looking at right now. And that's a scientific answer. And that's why when we read scripture or listen to preaching or right here listening to a song, our brain trashes so quick because we got so much more coming in. Because you programmed it that way. What do you think social media is here for?
Oh, yes.
Why do you think the news media moves on from one story to the next and nobody remembers that news story anymore?
Or cares.
Or why you say, man, this person's terrible, he did this, but then this person's wonderful, he donated charity, all within the same 48-hour period, and nobody remembers. They always said the influence you receive about that candidate the day before the election is going to decide who you vote for the next morning. Because that's why that $1.2 billion was spent in Facebook ads the day before the election.
Mm-hmm. October surprises.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's all about.
Because they were programming your mind to vote for that candidate right now. They spent almost double what they spent the whole month of October on that one day. Because that's who you're going to vote for. Because that's what we programmed. So people, get control of your minds. The upright generation is different in that it uses the Bible to filter through all your thoughts. It uses this to program how you think and how you remember and how you process everything. But you got to also look at it that we're a separate generation, a separated generation. We don't live off phones and programs and everything else like that like everyone else does, because we don't need it. It's kind of a one thing after another thing, because God is your all. We don't need to watch TV programs to fulfill us. We don't need phones to tell us what we believe every day. We don't need the podcasts and everything that we have in order to form our thoughts, because we already have our program of thinking. Every day, this evil and confused generation is always seeking, always looking, so it's trashing even quicker than usual what we have, because they need something new for that day. People are always depressed and have anxiety, and they're all over the place because they haven't listened to their music, or they haven't caught up on their favorite TV show, so they have nothing to talk about. And they have no connection to any other human being. And so everyone hates them because they didn't talk to them for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I encourage you, read your Bible. Have your thoughts programmed off God and His Word. And don't do it all. Don't be seduced by this generation. Don't be confused by their reasoners and their They're very smart professors that come along and like to lecture you, all that good stuff. There's a lot of smart people, quote-unquote smart people in this world, that people will tell you to read his book, listen to his program, watch this guy's show. He has some real insight. The moment you decide he has real insight before God has real insight, you've lost. Don't be seduced by this generation.